You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Well, there's an article by Marvin Kovalt, who was a Lieutenant General U.S. Army. He is retired. And it's really interesting because he's talking about the entitlements, welfare, and taxes versus the American dream, and how Joe Biden, with all of his, you know, trillions of dollars of proposals that he wants to put in place, are just not what they're cracked up to be. So his perspective is so interesting. He said that if you stood on a street corner handing out dollar bills, $1 every second, you'd have to stand there for 12,600 years to dispense $400 billion. And yet, these proposals that the Biden administration is putting forth are not billions of dollars, they are trillions of dollars. So, I mean, it just kind of puts in perspective how much money we're talking about here. So I want to talk about some of these ladies and some of these things that we have been kind of deluged with, these progressive plans. So we have the American Rescue Plan, the American Family Plan, the American Jobs Plan. So what do they mean? So the first one that the Biden administration put into effect was the American Rescue Plan, which was $1.9 trillion, which was over 600 pages of gobbledygook. And it was supposed to stimulate the economy and fight COVID-19 and help those most in need. Now, by the way, this was the third act by Congress to address pandemic issues, not the first. The CARES Act, which was in March 2020, authorized $2 trillion to deal with COVID relief. And in December 2020, Congress added another $833 billion. So why then did we have to have a rescue plan when we weren't in recession, unemployment had fallen, there was no economic crisis to alleviate, and only about 75% of the previous $2.8 trillion COVID relief that had already been passed had even been spent? So it just didn't make sense to throw this much money out again. And what we find out is that there are child tax credits in there, $3,600 for each child under age six. For each child of age six to 16, it increased from $2,000 to $3,000. There was a lot of different by the way, it didn't matter if it was a family making $100 a year or $150,000 a year. It didn't matter. So it's not really a safety net for the poor. We're just handing out free money. And by the way, money is not free. It comes from us. So I want to talk about some of these plans and see what you ladies think. And, you know, do we need to be spending this much money? And is the money really to help us with COVID? Because I don't think a lot of this last plan money went to COVID. In fact, they were able to use it for lots of other things besides COVID. It was supposed to go to COVID, but when it didn't get spent that way, they said, oh, well, you can use it for, you know, this and that and the other thing. So ladies, what do you think?
Well, I'm appalled. This is completely, I want to say asinine, but can I say that on the radio?
I don't know. I think you just did.
I think I just did. But so the truth is that we don't have this money. This money is not in our budget. We are going to, I don't know where President Biden is coming up with the trillions and trillions of dollars to fund all of this quote unquote free money for people. And all it's going to do is weaken our economy. It's going to weaken America on the world stage. It's going to weaken the dollar. We are going to borrow money from China and they, and we will owe them, we will be in debt. And I it's going to do nothing but weaken our United States of America and our standing in the world community. And this seems to be a common theme with this administration. It's almost as if that is their goal. The people who are voting for that say, yes, I want these entitlements. I can't imagine where are we going to get this money from? It's completely wrong. It just drives us into socialism, which I suppose that's what this administration wants for our country. But it isn't free. By all means, it's not free. We will pay dearly. The next generation and the generation after that will be the ones who pay that debt. And they don't have the money.
Judy, to me, I think you hit it right on the head when you said this is leading us into socialism. I think that this is all code for socialism personally. And I think that is the direction that they're going in. And it's almost like this is a sort of a bunch of gobbledygook language. So it kind of pulls the wool over people's eyes so that they don't realize that may be the direction that we're moving in here. And that's very disturbing to me. It just makes me wonder, like, are people really, do they have their eye on the ball? Do they really understand what's going on when he says he's just going to dole out trillions of dollars? Just like you said, where is this money coming from and who's going to pay for it? I mean, it's only going to end up raising our taxes, which I don't know how much more he can possibly do that, but what I don't like about it is that I feel like they are taking the American people for idiots and thinking that they're not smart enough to realize what's really going on beneath all this.
Well, and they write it in such a way that you really don't know. I don't even think half the people voting on it know. So, you know, we just had the vote on the infrastructure bill, which is still sitting in Congress. And there's some squabbling back and forth there. But they called this the American Jobs Plan, AKA the infrastructure bill. And that was, $2.3 trillion? I'm not sure what it ended up at. 12,000 pages. And of that infrastructure bill, only 7%, and some people say 5%, actually goes to infrastructure, goes to our roads and our bridges and our waterways and things that are important for infrastructure in the country. We have a lot of dams that are ready to fail. And we have a lot of areas, especially like California, where they have not built what they need to collect the water when it rains so that they have water in times of drought. But yet 5 to 7% is what's in the infrastructure bill. What else is in there? Well, they actually combined a lot of the stuff that was supposed to go in the American Families Plan, which is 2 years of free kindergarten. It's in one of these bills. They've kind of combined these things. Mm-hmm. There's all of the things that they have done, like money for community-based care for aging and disabled Americans, $400 billion. I mean, really, $400 billion? That's just an enormous amount of money. Why would we put that in an infrastructure bill? Why would an infrastructure bill be 5 to 7% for infrastructure and the rest of the money go to all kinds of other pet causes that have nothing to do with infrastructure? That's what's so frustrating about that, is that we are being sold a bill of goods. We are giving kids things like, you know, free kindergarten and free this and free that, which
free college.
Yeah, it is all entitlements. So entitlements do what? When you give people money, you can never stop doing it because they get used to it. So I suppose that they want us to get used to it so that then people vote for them because now they're getting free money. Of course, the businesses are going to pay for it.
They just don't think, Linda. That's the truth right there. The people who are voting this administration in are not thinking. I ask them continuously about, so explain to me, let's talk about this bill, this quote unquote American jobs bill. Okay. So you want to give people money. I'm sorry, I'm confused here. Give people money or to what? This is for the infrastructure. So they're going to create jobs so that people will work. But they just passed the American Rescue Plan, which gives everybody free money. So nobody wants to work. So, Linda, I know that you and I have talked about this before, but we own our own small businesses, and I can't find anybody to work. I go to Subway to get a sandwich, and there's one guy behind the counter, and he's doing everything. And there's signs everywhere that says hiring. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. There are signs for jobs. People, businesses are looking for people to work, and nobody wants to work because they are making more money through unemployment and through the stimulus checks, which, by the way, as a small business owner, Brian and I never received anything. We never received anything.
No, neither so not did we.
Only, yeah. So not only do we not qualify or whatever for any sort of stimulus checks or support, we also can't find anybody to work, right, for us. Therefore, we can't produce the products that we need to produce and create a living to feed our family. I'm trying really hard to understand it, other than these people want to stay in power and they think that, you know, this is the way to do it. What do you guys think?
Oh, I think you're 100% right about that. I am infuriated. Just like you said, going to Starbucks, you stand in a line for 45 minutes for a cup of coffee because they've got one person who's making everything. And yet, you know, why don't people, it kind of destroys the American dream. I mean, the American dream is going out and getting a job and supporting yourself and working hard. And it's just destroying that. So that's one big thing that bothers me a lot about this. I gotta say, I don't understand. I mean, if they want to create jobs, it doesn't seem like there's a shortage of jobs. So why trillions of dollars towards creating jobs? Jobs are available for people. You can go out and get a job, just like you said, anywhere you want. Work is available. So I don't like that at all. That's what's going on.
Yeah, there's millions of jobs going unfilled. I want to talk about this American Families Plan because this one, I mean, along with, and then there's another after that, but the American Families Plan really, really bothers me. It has four new programs in it. So 2 years of free pre-kindergarten, virtually free childcare for everyone, paid family and medical leave, which we've already got in this country, 2 years of free community college. And then they also want to change our Medicare, which was supposed to be for older people, seniors who paid into it, or maybe people that didn't pay into it. Medicaid was the safety net program, but now that covers 37% of people, say in California, but now they want to make it Medicare for all. That will destroy our Medicare system. And that will take like for we that paid into it for years and years and years, it will destroy us being able to see a good doctor because it will so flood the system. And the doctors are complaining and they don't even want to be doctors because of what they're doing to the medical system. But I just want to say about these things that sound so good, free pre-kindergarten, free childcare for everyone. Here's the problem. As a family, when my husband and I decided to get married, and when we decide to have children, I don't expect the government to take care of my children. And I don't think anybody else should expect that either. And now the government is coming in saying, hey, you can go out and work, mom, we'll pay for your childcare. First of all, what has the government ever done that you can think of that they have done well and right? I don't want to put my child in their care, number one. Number two, it is discouraging women from one of the most important jobs, or the most important job that there is, and that is raising their own children. It's discouraging them. It's saying, you will benefit. Now you can go out and work. We'll pay for your childcare. And what do they do in our schools now? They indoctrinate our children. So what kind of rules are there going to be for people receiving federal money to do childcare? Are they going to have to teach our children about sex at 4 years old? Are they going to have to teach our children about critical race theory at 4 years old? I just think this is absolutely a boondoggle that nobody is thinking about the consequences of. It is an insidious, cancerous way to get to our youth.
Well, I agree completely. It will just further the control that they have over the next generation. They're going to control the education, what the children are learning in school. They're going to give them entitlements, money, and make them dependent on the federal government for their basic needs. And therefore, that will just ensure that that quote unquote regime keeps getting voted in. It's just, I don't know what's happening to my America. What is happening to our America? The whole American dream, just like you said, it's destroying the American dream. The fact that you could come here and you could come here with very, very little and work hard and rise to the top of a certain industry or own your own business, or just because you worked hard and you could provide for your family that way. And I just think that they're taking away people's self-worth and their dignity. Because I know myself, I get so much joy and so much self-worth by what I can build and what I can create and what I and how I can provide for my family. But I think that they're trying to take that away. And it's just, I when I speak to the different people who have shared with me that they voted for President Biden, that they believe in socialism, and they think that that's the way that our country should go. They feel that everybody has a right to be healthy. Everybody has a right to medical care. Everybody has a right to food and shelter. And I mean, I struggle with it, because when I also look at these people, they don't have a job right now. They just sit at home. They don't produce anything. They're not contributing to society. They're not contributing to America at all, this person. And I think and yet that's what they're voting for. Of course, that's what they're voting for. They're voting for the entitlement. So, but the question about, okay, does everybody deserve to have medical care? Let's talk about that for a minute. What do you guys think? Free.
They deserve, everybody deserves to have opportunity in this country. That's what everybody deserves to have. They don't deserve to have a doctor be forced to take care of them. That's not why a doctor goes in and becomes a doctor. Quite honestly, they go in and become a doctor for a couple of reasons. Because first of all, it historically has been a very well-paying job. And secondly, many of them have very, I don't know if it's the right word, but altruistic kind of dreams that they want to help people, and that's what they do. But is it my right? Is it my right to go in and say, you know, I want to get a nip and a tuck here and there. So I want to do that. Now in other countries and Italy, for example, they have, you know, healthcare for everybody. I promise you, in any of these countries that have healthcare for everybody, there is still a caste system for people. Alisa, tell me if you agree that the people that are the elite get the very best care, and the people that are not the elite, they kind of go by the wayside, and they do what Barack Obama did in the Obamacare, and they try to build in things like our obsolescence. You know, well, you know, they're 70 years old, so they might not need that cancer treatment because they don't really have so long to go anyway. They've become gods in this, is what they do. And I just disagree with that. This country provides us with equal opportunity for everybody. And what people do with that is up to them. That's my take.
I have to say, I personally don't think that you're entitled to medical care. That could be a little seen as a little, I don't know, controversial or whatever. But again, I go back to the concept of capitalism versus socialism. And I fully believe, and this country was built on capitalism, and we've already seen that socialism doesn't work. That's already just, that's an exercise in futility. So why people would want to go back to that, I don't understand. It's hard for me to relate to that. I don't get that, because again, you know, you want to go to work, you want to have value in what you do, and the fact that it makes you feel valuable and gives you self-worth that you can provide for your family and you can build what you want for your family. I do think that people, you know, obviously, I think everybody should be, healthcare should be available to everybody. I do agree with that. But again, it bothers me that I spend, my family, it cost us a fortune in healthcare. And yet somebody with no, you know, an immigrant can walk into the same hospital and get the same exact healthcare for free. And I'm getting bills like up the wazoo for it, even though it's covered by my insurance, and I'm still getting covered for it. And I'm still getting charged for it. So that to me is infuriating. And I don't think that that's fair. I just don't think that's fair. Medical care, you know, you don't want to say, of course, you never want to say, oh, somebody needs a surgery or somebody has a disease and they don't have access to medical care. But I don't think that we have ever said no to anybody about, you know, having access to it. People can go and they can walk into a hospital, they can walk into a clinic, people can walk into a doctor's office, they can get care. But I don't think that it should be an entitlement sort of thing. I know that that's controversial, but it just bothers me that I feel like I'm paying tens of thousands of dollars in insurance, and yet somebody else can walk in, get the same care for free. That doesn't seem fair to me.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's definitely not fair. But as Granny Rose used to say, life isn't fair, Jude. Life's not fair. But which is so true. But when I look at, so I agree with you. But when I look at, okay, we do have Medicare, we have Medicaid, we also have the VA. We definitely have government-run medical programs. Okay, and I don't know if either of you have ever experienced, oh my gosh, this. Either one of these programs, but my father was a veteran, and I cared for him when he was older, and I would drive to Saginaw to the VA, and I can tell you how terribly run this whole program was, how long we would wait for an appointment just to get an appointment for him. And then it wouldn't be just a, you know, like you would go there. It would be an all-day affair. The lines and then the quality of the treatment, sitting with the doctor. You never got the same doctor once. And so you had to keep going over and over and over all the same things that you went over last month with the previous doctor. Nobody ever reads the chart. And becomes familiar with you at all. And that's a government-run program. And it's like, really, that's what you people want? They have no idea what they're saying that they want.
No, they don't. And you're right. Okay. But as far as the veterans, President Trump did a wonderful job and changing mm-hmm. that so that they can go to their own doctors. And the people that I know that are veterans are so much happier under the new system now. So that's a good thing. I want to mention, ladies, that the big one that's upcoming, the $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill, that if it passed, is going to be the largest budget ever in our country. They call it human infrastructure, is what they call that bill, that it's human infrastructure, which does things like federally funded childcare, home care, housing investments for people. That's a grab of property, in my opinion. Pathway to citizenship for the millions. We are estimated to have 30 million illegals in this country, and they would have a pathway to citizenship. Why? Why are they doing this? Because they want the votes. That's the big deal about the votes. They want to stay in power. This is all about power. So now you're giving even more free things. And when you give people free things, they become addicted to them. It's like a drug. And we lose ourselves in this. One thing that you said, Judy, earlier, is just something I so strongly believe, that the thing that America offers is the opportunity. And we all have businesses. We've all been in business here. We get a lot of self-satisfaction. Human beings as a whole mm-hmm. get self-satisfaction out of what they accomplish. And they are taking that away. Why accomplish anything? Why don't you just sit on your rear end all day and do nothing, because the government's going to pay for your childcare? Hey, you don't even have to go to work and the government's going to pay for your childcare. So you can actually give your kids to somebody else and you can still stay home. I mean, this is just, it's destroying to what we are as a country and a people. It just makes us, I don't know, little cardboard figurines or something. This is not a way to run a country. I mean, this is like the worst thing. We ought to be motivating people in every which way to get a job, to take these jobs, to lift yourself up, to lift others up. That's what we ought to be doing in this country. We're doing the opposite.
Well, I have a question for you. What government agency have you ever been to that you walked out of there and felt like you got good service? I mean, have you ever walked into the DMV? Have you ever, you know, the postal service is
horrible,
a mess. You know, what government service is there out there that you can honestly say, wow, our government is really killing it on this one? And hardly any. I mean, the public schools are a mess. Everything, anything that the government touches, I want no part of. That's how I feel. You know, it bothers me that a government childcare, government run childcare. No, thank you. No, thank you.
You know, I think that because it takes the competition out of it. So if they decide to take capitalism out, they decide then that there really is no competition any longer. So I know that when I get my fat butt out there to run in the morning, right? If I run by myself, if I'm just hanging out by myself, running by myself, I kind of give in a little bit more, right? I let myself slide a little bit. But if I happen to be running with Brian or with my daughters, I'm going to run a little bit harder. I'm going to run a little bit faster because we're not in competition, but I certainly don't want to get left behind. Right. So I think that when you take all the competition out of anything, if you take competition out of healthcare, if you take competition out of, any industry, you get nothing but mediocrity. I think you really don't get excellence. And I think that's just human nature. So, but again, it's just about power and who, you know, and the fact that they want to stay in power. So the question is, what do we do? I mean, I feel so strongly about this. We need to fight against this. So what do we do? What do we do?
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutLoud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Hey, welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And I'm Judy Moran. And we were just talking about all of these entitlements, welfare and taxes versus the American dream. It is a huge discussion about entitlements and how it's going to destroy really our country and future generations. So I'm here with Lisa. Lisa, what's your last name?
Hi, Judy. How are you? This is Elisa Akrongold. I live up here in the Northeast. I'm a mom of four, a former network TV producer, and very, very interested in talking about issues like this.
And I'm Linda Martinelli, and I am also a business owner and a mom, working on becoming a grandmom, not there yet, but I'm in Texas. So on this subject, Judy, your last question was about what do we do? Well, I don't know what we can do. The big issue is that somebody in our Senate and our Congress, or enough of them, have to have enough heroic courage to stop this bill from passing, this $3.5 trillion from passing. And, what we've talked about, that there is no freedom in what they're doing. I mean, the help is not a help, it's a hurt to people. And that's what people need to realize. They might say, oh my gosh, look what I get for free. No, didn't your mother tell you nothing is for free? People will find themselves passing from one set of government controls to another over and over in their life. And we already said that the federal government is not good at running anything. We don't want them in our healthcare. We don't want them in our housing. We don't want them in our jobs and our childcare. And it's bad enough that they're in our schools because they're really messing that up. So, I mean, what do we do about it, ladies? I don't know, but I'm open to your suggestions.
Well, I think that I'm not so sure that this $3.5 trillion plan is going to pass myself. I do not want to see more government mandated programs and the government telling me that, I have to do this and I have to do that. And, it's just out of control. It's growing out of control to where the government is taking over our lives. What do we do about it? Linda, that baffles me. I honestly, because I didn't vote for this. I don't want this. it bothers me that it's going to be shoved down my throat potentially. So what do we have to do about it? I mean, I think that we have to vote some of these people out. That's the only way out I see.
For sure. And I just think continuously having conversations and not shying away from those conversations with people, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our colleagues who believe differently. I think that it's important to engage in those conversations and not be afraid. I think that the Democratic Party has attached itself to the rights of the gay community, of the trans community, of and furthering their rights in our culture. And I worry that people who have those concerns are not seeing the big picture. I feel like they're voting for one narrow reason. And I feel like it's my job, not my job, but my purpose. It's not a job, it's a purpose at this point, to share and to really dig in and ask them the questions about who they want to be, what kind of world they want to live in, and how we actually pay for that world. Because they're being fed lies, and they're not seeing the whole picture. But I think that we shy away from those conversations because they get so emotional and at this point so volatile. And I mean, my nephew said to my daughter, if you don't vote for Biden, you're saying that you don't love me. And I said that before. I've shared that before. And I think, how can you actually say that? Right? How can you say that? You know, it has nothing to do with whether I love you or not, or whether I want you to have a whole and complete life full of joy. Of course I do. Of course I do. But what I don't want is for America to be lost.
Well, I think that what you're saying about conversations with people, I'm 100% fine with that. But I find that people who are on the left side of this, they don't want to talk. They just want to shut you down. And if you don't agree with them, then you're just canceled. And so I keep my mouth shut, honestly, a lot of time. I happen to live in a part of the country that is very blue and very, very liberal. And, you know, sometimes when they find out that I didn't vote for Biden, they want nothing to do with me. So it's hard to reconcile that. It really is, because I don't have a problem being friends or talking to people who don't feel the same way politically as I do, but you know, they don't feel that way on the other side. It's very hypocritical.
Yeah. Those people aren't your friends though, Elisa. That's what I would say. You know, yeah. People need to just look, let's just look at this in, not in emotional terms. When President Trump started reducing regulations, when he started reducing taxes, our jobs were the best they had ever been. And that is for all colors, for all people in this country. Our jobs were great. Our growth was great. Our economy went up, wages went up, jobs went up, family income went up. Employment was at historic lows for everybody, for minorities, for women, for everybody. I mean, how can you can't deny that. Nobody can deny that. And look at where we are just a few short months later, when all of those things were canceled by the Biden administration. You cannot look at this blindly. You have to look at this in a way that, you know, is real. And I just don't think people are looking at this in a way that's real. Now, the last thing that I'll say is that Kyrsten Sinema has said she is not going to vote for this. She says that there's no way she'll vote for something like this. Joe Manchin has not come out and said whether he would or he wouldn't, but he's leaning towards not. And either one or both of those people will kill this deal. So I'm just praying that they don't do this to the American people. And I'm ashamed of all of the Democrats in the Senate and the Congress who want to foist this on Americans and for generations to come. I just think that it's a disgrace. That's all I want to say about that. And on another subject, Alisa.
Yes.
You had a subject that you wanted to talk about. And it's a subject near and dear to my heart and a lot of people's heart that I know, and especially women, which is weight loss.
Linda, it has become such a problem in this country, especially since COVID, when people were locked down. It's astounding the amount of weight that people put on just overall as a whole during the lockdowns and during the COVID situation. But it's always a struggle. It's always a struggle for people. And it not only is a physical struggle, it's a mental struggle as well. And so there's, you know, all sorts of programs, all sorts of things you can do. But, you know, I think one thing that you really have to, you have to think to yourself, okay, I'm going to commit to doing something about my health. I'm going to make a change in my health. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to put the time in. I'm going to put the effort in. I'm going to put the consistency in. I'm going to put the grit in. It's going to be hard. It may not be so easy, but I'm going to get to the other side of it. And I think when you get to a mindset like that, then you're able to create different habits. You're able to change your health. And I think that those things make such an enormous difference. It's so much mental that goes into weight loss as opposed to physical.
I see so many people that are overweight. And my husband are two people that ate our way through COVID. And, you know, we have managed to not only lose that, but more than that. And I'm really, really happy about that. I mean, we both feel better. We both look better. And I just think that it is such a huge issue. Of course, there's so many programs and there's so many people that are, you know, making millions, billions of dollars on weight loss programs, but it comes down to that each individual person has to make that decision to feel better, to look better, because when you look better, you feel better about yourself. You feel physically better for sure, but you feel mentally better. You feel emotionally better. You feel, prettier, more alive, more active, lighter. You know, there's just so many good words that I can think that go along with it. And it's hard. I mean, it's a hard thing, but I just realized that we are eating ourselves to death in this country. And I don't know that I know. I don't know that I know the solution. I know that I found my solution, and I know that people often find their solution. So, you know, whatever solution people take, I think it's really important. Judy?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You're the lady out there running around the neighborhood, so I know that you're healthy.
Well, I try. But I got to tell you, so I think that with weight loss and, you know, I do obviously, America is the heaviest nation on earth, right? And mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest reasons is that we have so much processed food. We really don't eat whole healthy foods anymore. And for myself, you know, I'm always concerned about my weight or about being healthy. And one of the reasons why, not my weight, but being healthy, is I'm a breast cancer survivor. And I've talked about it a little bit before, but I decided, you know, my prognosis was very, very bad. They gave me about a 20% chance of survival. And my daughter was 3 years old, and I wanted to mess her up. I didn't want somebody else messing her up. So I decided that I wouldn't put one thing in my mouth that was going to support the cancer. I realized that the cancer to me was just a symptom that my immune system failed. Well, why did my immune system fail? It failed because my life, you know, I was in a very stressful work environment. Stress causes cancer. There's been many studies about it. And my diet was all, I didn't drink enough water. I ate processed food. And although I was thin, I just wasn't eating well at all. So when I say that I was motivated, there's nothing more motivating than somebody saying you're going to die, right? You're like, what? I'm going to do something now. And I did. And for me, I decided that I wasn't going to put any more toxins in my body. So I switched my diet over to all whole, complete foods, nothing that was processed, nothing that was quote unquote pre-made. And I even like, I went to town and I like made my own mayo. And I cut out all the sugar in my diet because I believed that sugar was going to, I knew that sugar fed cancer. And I have to tell you that I was never healthier. I can tell you that I did everything the doctors told me to do. I did the chemo, the mastectomy, the tamoxifen, the whole nine yards. But then I also again changed my whole diet, completely organic, all whole foods, nothing processed. And I was never healthier in my life. I completely beat the cancer. Praise God, really, it was up to him. But I was also very, very healthy. I healed faster than any of the other patients. I bounced back quicker after each chemotherapy treatment. And I weathered the treatments much better than the average patient. So I truly believe that you are what you eat. Whatever you put in your mouth, that there goes your body. And I also know that exercise really is the fountain of youth. It keeps you mobile. When you go, my father was in a nursing home, and when I would go and be with him there, a lot of people that were there because they fell. They busted their hip or their knee, and they couldn't move any longer. And the reason why they fell is that their balance was off. Their muscle tone was off. They couldn't catch themselves the way you do when you're younger. And if you remain mobile, just walk, right? And you retain your muscle tone, you will age gracefully. And it's not necessarily about weight, it's about being healthy.
It is 100% about being healthy. 100%, Judy. That's the whole key to the whole thing. I mean, my husband last year, he went on a program and he lost 50 pounds within 4 months. And it was all because he fueled his body differently. He stopped eating all that processed food that he used, that he basically grew up on and lived on his whole life. And he started eating all whole foods, all fresh foods. We no longer buy anything at the grocery store except what's on one side of the store or the other. You know, we don't go to the middle aisles. There's nothing processed. And the program that he did was he was able to lose all this weight in a very short time and keep it off a year later. This is exactly a year ago that he did this. And he has kept that 50 pounds off exactly, a year ago from today. All by doing exactly what you're saying. But, you know, the program itself was like a jumpstart for him. Is it something, I think that's, you're trying that Healthy You program, right, Linda?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like it?
I love it. I love it. It's the easiest thing I have ever done, and I'm never hungry, and it works, and I feel great. I want to mention to you both that there was some researchers came out with an article this week, and they released a nutritional index that was supposed to be some guidelines about 5,000 different foods in that people have in their diets, and they classified them by health burden and environmental impacts, which is really a different kind of study, right? The thing that struck me about this article, and Elisa, I know I sent it to you to look at because it was, there are some things on here that are pretty shocking. But one thing I really liked, it says, hey, that chocolate for breakfast might have some potential benefits. So I really like that. But but it also, I mean, the first thing it said was that eating a hot dog takes 36 minutes off your life. Is that not a very sobering thought?
It's so sad to me. I love Koval hot dogs. And what about a Coney dog? Is that like an hour?
I think so. But, you know, if you eat some salted peanuts or some baked salmon or rice with beans, you can gain some of that time back. So the index, what it tells you is the things that take minutes off your life every time you eat them, and things that add minutes to your life every time you eat them. I just thought it was fascinating. Elisa, did you have a chance to look at it?
Oh, I did. And honestly, the foods that you could incorporate into your diet that add the time onto the diet, onto your life, are absolutely delicious. It's not like, it's okay, fine. So, you know, it's not like you have to give up hot dogs for the rest of your life. Okay, nothing's better than a grilled hot dog in the summer, right? But, you know, you can, for the most part, you can eat healthy foods, baked salmon and beans and whole grains and vegetables and non-starchy vegetables and things like that, that are going to promote long life. And I think if you do that, you know, and you threw in a hot dog here and there, okay, I don't think that you're going to cut the extra hour off your life, honestly, because overall you're going to improve your health. That makes sense?
I think in the end, yeah, it does. I think in the end, the goal of weight loss really needs to be tied to what the vision is you have for your life. So for instance, for me, the vision that I have for my life is I want to be healthy. I want to be strong. I'm an older mom. And so I know that my health is going to be really important at the end of my life, because I want to play with my grandchildren. I want to be around, I want to influence them, and not just, you know, let's go visit grandma and have her sit on the couch. Right. I want to participate in their life. I want a rich, exciting, activity filled life. I want to travel and be with my family and be healthy and have the energy to do all of that. And so to do that, that's the vision. Okay. So to do that, I need to lose some weight. I need to be healthy. I need to eat healthy, right? So if the goal is to lose weight, then what are the tactics? What are the actions that I have to take then, really, to make that goal a reality and make that vision a reality? It would be skip the fast food, okay? It would be cook good, whole, healthy meals, right? And it doesn't have to be elaborate, right? So let's talk about the salmon for a minute, okay? One of my favorite recipes for salmon is, you know, buy a beautiful piece of salmon, season it with your salt and pepper. I throw a little olive oil on it. And then I can either make my own pesto, or you can buy organic fresh pesto. I slather that all on, cut a few sun-dried tomatoes, and I pop it in the oven. And literally, it is done within 15 to 20 minutes. And I make some beautiful yellow rice to go with it. How yummy is, doesn't that sound good?
It's amazing.
And it took 30 minutes.
Amazing.
Right? It took 30 minutes to make it. It's one of my family's favorite recipes.
Right.
So I think people have excuses. I don't have time to cook. It costs more money to make healthy foods, but honestly, it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't anymore.
No, it does not.
Do you know how you can gain those minutes back from your hot dog, Judy? You have
Tell
a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you gain back 33 of those 36 minutes. So there you go.
That's great. I love peanut butter and jelly too.
You know, this is a fascinating article that people can look up, although it doesn't really tell me. I think it was by Michigan Public Health. So people could probably look it up on their own. I thought it was just really fascinating to see food in a way that said, if you eat this, it's going to take minutes off your life. But if you eat this, it's going to add minutes to your life. And it's a whole different way of looking at things, you know?
Okay. I've been seeing also a lot of these women's fitness clothing companies that are advertising very heavy women in their fitness clothes. And, you know, I'm a little conflicted about whether or not I like that, because I look at those sorts of things and I want to see that as, I want to see those fitness models as kind of a role model, as something I would aspire to. I think people could get mad at me for saying this, and I'm not trying to be uninclusive in any way, but I'm not so sure that's the look that I'm going for when I see fitness companies advertising that. So what do you think about that? Have you seen that?
That's a whole nother can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it just because I never watch television, but
I have.
You know, I go to a gym and there's women of all different sizes there for sure. And they're all wearing some sort of fitness clothes, whether it just be sweatpants or whatever they are. So I guess I just don't even think about it. You know, I try just to think about myself and what I need to do for me. And ultimately for me, that's what it comes down to. And when I decided that I needed to lose those COVID pounds, my husband was not on board with me. So I said, okay, I'm doing this by myself. And I did start doing it by myself. And when I did, he said, wow, what are you doing? And he jumped on the same program as I'm on, which is Healthy You. And it worked for him equally as well. So, you know, we're both really happy about that. Everybody can take their own path. I found a path that works for me after lots and lots of trial and error over my life. So I'm happy about that. But I just hope that people, you know, take all the little words of experience, I guess, from the three ladies on this call or this show today that says, hey, we've all been there and we've all had to, you know, make some adjustments, and it's doable.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.